This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat today is a very special guest from an incredibly important company. It's Elad Ben-Meir, the CEO of SkaDefense, who solves one of the most important OT problems in the world. We're talking about critical infrastructure cybersecurity. Elad, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So OTIT, tell us the acronyms, NERC, SIP, NIST, CSF, IEC 62443, so many acronyms, so little time.
Yeah, OT, I think it's pretty clear to people now, to listeners. OT is operational technology. It's basically the infrastructure that's parallel to IT, informational technology, that allows us to create manufacturing floors and manufacturing plants, allows us to operate drills and oil and gas infrastructure, allows us to distill water and create power. And basically all the infrastructure around the industrial space is named operational technology. OT and IT are now converging more than ever. So that's an overused kind of word in our industry. But we see this in reality when CISOs more and more so get the responsibility and ownership about protecting these critical infrastructures.
Now, years ago, I heard about a breach at a big store called Target, where the hackers found a vulnerability in the HVAC, in the air conditioning system that was on the internet for some reason, maybe so it could be used and managed remotely and the temperature could be checked remotely. They could manage the expenses of their air conditioning units all around the country. And the hackers broke in, and I believe they even found a way in to get to either ruin the temperature in the stores or steal the credit cards, because that was connected to the corporate Visa payment gateway network. I don't remember all the details, but it all started out with an attack against operational technology. How does this happen, and what can you do to stop it?
So operational technology has traditionally been disconnected from the world, air-gapped. And now more and more, the fact that customers want to have their HVAC monitored remotely and being is a digitalization that we're going through. And more so, this is a drive for implementing products like ours to understand the risks that operational technology network are exposed to and how those could be minimized and potentially even eliminated altogether. Target is pretty far back. That the aim of the attackers ultimately was to steal credit card information and PII, which they managed to do. But I think what is interesting is that in our space, in OT, it's not just financial damage, which is substantial. We saw that in attacks like the WannaCry and NotPetya campaigns, but since then, many of those, where on the IT side, they had playbooks and response procedures in place. And OT, they had nothing, no backups, no understanding of how to come back to life. And those are where the places where they got hit substantially from a financial point of view. But what we see today with more recent events is attempts on water infrastructure, like the Oldsmar attack in Florida, which kind of became the poster child attack for OT security. Because what happened there is a small city out of Florida, probably a disgruntled employee, searched for credentials of the TeamViewer access on the dark web. And the attack was very simple. He used a TeamViewer connection that had a default user and password, very basic user and password combination that he found on the dark web lying around. He managed to access through that TeamViewer connection, move around the network, and ultimately change the levels of things that was pushed into the water. And luckily,
chemical that was going into the water that was part of the cleaning of bacteria process, but too much of that chemical could make you sick.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. So we're talking about cyber terrorism on a city because they attacked the operational technology, the water system, and what gets pumped in. I've heard that you could do a Fukushima if you could attack a nuclear reactor by convincing the rods not to go in or out at the wrong time and blow up the reactor. So anything from a nuclear power plant that uses operational technology to an HVAC to a smart city is really maybe a dumb city because they don't have you implemented. Let's take a smart city. I think it happened in Atlanta, Georgia. They had a power outage or something because they went smart. Everybody tells me smart is smart, but I think smart is vulnerable. So that isn't so smart. Where does SkaDefense come in? Are you in advance stopping the breach? Are you finding the vulnerability and saying, here's an exploitable hole before they get into your HVAC or your smart city? Do you show them indicators of compromise and tell them where they should harden or put up a new firewall? What do they have to do to deploy you? And are you securing, or are you just finding the vulnerabilities as a super duper pen tester in a new field for us?
It's a great question. So if you take the target example, the fact that the attackers can move from the HVAC machinery, the HVAC network, into the corporate network means that there was no segmentation or controls around communications or propagation attempts between different segments or business units within the organization. And what we do essentially is we come into a new site. We just need to listen in to the data that flows on the network. So we don't install any agents. We don't make any changes. We basically take port mirroring and run deep packet inspection on all the packets that go through the wires. And through that, as a phase one, we map out what devices exist on the network, how they communicate with one another, what vulnerabilities they have, what open ports, anything that we can identify as the open doors and windows of that network for a potential attacker to come in. And as phase one, we just reduce the risks. So we highlight all the places where our customers may be vulnerable, where an attacker could leverage a weakness in their posture and make their way in. And we reduce that risk as a phase one. And with a matter of days, depending on the organization, we reduce that risk substantially because you find that you should have segmentation in place. And we ask our customers, do you guys have segmented network? They say yes. And then when we're in there, we show communications across those segments, which are broken because networks are dynamic. So phase one is just
VLAN or bifurcation of the network, totally separating, air gapping. What do you recommend to really in the segmentation? What does that mean?
So segmentation basically allows you to control the propagation attempts or the lateral movement of an attacker. If you have the crown jewels or if you have the most safety systems, for example, you don't want anyone accessing that from outside. But now, because IT and OT are more connected than ever, it's really easy for an attacker to slowly make its way on the network and move into those critical areas of the network. So when you do segmentation, it's really important to understand what the network infrastructure should look like, who should communicate with who and what protocols. And once you put the right segmentation in place, monitor that segmentation to make sure that it's not broken, there's not a bypass, there's not a backdoor open somewhere for an attacker to come in. And what we do after that first phase of reducing the risk is also monitor that and trigger policy changes or isolation through NAC integration and ACLs to stop an attacker in real time.
So MAC integration, access control list, this is great. So I remember the story of the 777, the jets that came out from Boeing, that they had to ask for the FAA to provide a exception for a common vulnerability, which was there was no air gap between the control of the ailerons and the entertainment center where you could sit and play in your passenger seat. And a hacker wanted to prove that this was vulnerable, and he made the airplane rock the wings, and he's texting it out over the internet and telling friends over Twitter. Luckily, when the plane landed, they didn't know what happened, but when the plane landed, the FBI nabbed him. And he said, I'm just showing you that there's a vulnerability here. And that's pretty dangerous, and I hope they fixed it. But this is the kind of thing, critical infrastructure, where you're dealing with mechanics of things that could take human lives, really needs skate defense.
Yep, I fully agree.
How about trains? How about, you know, Amtrak and trains where they're scheduling, and the Virgin train in England, or the high-speed trains in Japan, where if a hacker were to get in and just make two trains switch tracks to aim at each other, there could be a horrible collision.
Yep. That's why with OT, it's all about not just ransomware attacks where you can have a potential financial damage, but lives that may be lost, which is makes it much more of a priority for CISOs to take care of, because it's not just hurting their production, but it may cause a boiler to explode or a poisoning of water of a specific city.
So typical customers of skate defense would be cities and government agencies, companies that are in transportation. Who else?
Most verticals would have an OT component in it. So traditionally, we used to focus on manufacturers, both process and discrete, oil and gas companies, utilities, water, electricity, generation, distribution, and some BMS, building management systems or building automation systems. And today we see that even financial institutions and insurers are finding an interest in OT because they have within their buildings, within their data centers, a large component of OT, which the traditional security tools, the vulnerability management scanners, the firewalls, the endpoint protections, they're not really tuned and built for OT environments with all their characteristics and specific requirements.
So Elad, you have three products to help solve this problem. Can you walk us through each product from SCADAfence?
Yeah, of course. So the first product is our flagship product. It was the product that was originally the idea behind the founders of the company, and that is our SCADAfence platform. It's primarily a passive platform that takes in port mirroring, so span traffic, and we run deep packet inspection on the packets. And by doing that, we can derive what assets are on the network, how they communicate with one another, and bring visibility into the cybersecurity posture of that network, detecting real-time events and things as we discussed. I said it's mainly passive because that's what the market usually goes for. We do have active components where we use the industrial vendors' own programming languages or engineering code to probe the devices and proactively choose to get back information from them. That allows us to enhance our asset visibility and asset inventory management capabilities. So that's our first product. Very successful. It's implemented in dozens of customers across the globe, from Fortune 100 customers in the US in oil and gas to the largest BMS operator in Japan, and all the way to the largest factory in Europe. Our second product was something we thought about because we're already extracting the data from the network. We said, let's take the data and correlate that with industrial frameworks around GRC. So things like the acronyms that you mentioned, NERC, SIP, NIST, CSF, IC62443, and many others. And basically what we do is we allow to take that data and any other syslog-enabled security control and correlate that data with the requirements of those frameworks. So we can provide a central view to any CISO or any chief risk officer of how all their distributed sites adhere to certain frameworks. So if a manufacturer is working based on a 3 policy, he can see that his factory based in Brazil is at 63% adherence to 62443, while his factory in Houston is at 87. And then they can see how the progression over time and the investment into security within OT reduces the risk or enhances their compliance percentage. And the last product, our newest product, is basically allowing customers to manage and orchestrate configuration changes on IoT devices, and does so agentlessly. So we can see if there are default passwords that are being used, or if there are any call home functions that shouldn't exist, and many other things that have to do with security posture of those IoT devices.
Now, OT equipment for years, as far as I know, has had either a back door or remote access to fix it or to patch it if possible. Some can't be patched. Some come with default passwords that people forget about, as you said. What about encryption? Where does SSL or TLS or any form of encryption, are these standards requiring or demanding encryption by some year in the future? Is any of the OT stuff running encryption yet?
No, some do, but the thing is, it's the security maturity of OT is about 20 years behind where IT is. And so basic 101 things that we do in IT they don't exist in OT. And so also the environments are far more fragile and they can't be managed in the same way that we do in IT. And so there's a need for a different approach, a passive approach that's less infringing and that can deal with the security aspects without making tremendous changes. There is a shift towards more of encryption, and some of the industrial vendors are coming out with protocols that are encrypted. But at least from the way we perceive things, it will take some time until there will be real encryption throughout the OT networks.
So without SCADAfence, OT is incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah, I'd love to say it's without SCADAfence. There are other good vendors out there that provide security in a multitude of ways to OT networks. But yeah, we're the basics that any OT operator would need to create some kind of security posture on their OT networks. And once you start using us, you identify more things that you can do, identify where your holes are and where you can be more protected by the visibility and protection that we provide.
Yeah, I actually think Owl Cyber, just to name one company, would be a great partner of yours because they actually encrypt the OT networks they call it the data diode. So they just take dumb TCP/IP stack stuff that's still vulnerable, still at high risk of exploitation, but they try to at least wrap a encrypted subnet around it. So when it's communicating, it's not man in the middle or hacked in the old fashioned sense. But again, these are bolt-ons where I think you talked about NERC and NIST, these standards. At some point, these standards have to push moving this technology forward. And at least we have you and others like Owl to get one step ahead of these threats.
Yeah, so funny you mention Owl, because Owl do provide diodes, and diodes is one way of keeping that air gap without being fully air gapped. It's one way of dealing with it, but in any case, the combination of SCADA Fence and Owl does really make sense. And the reason why I said it's funny is because Owl recently joined the OTCSA, which we are a founding member of, the OT Cybersecurity Alliance that was founded by ABB together with us, Checkpoint, and a few other folks from the industry. And basically, we, together with Owl and the rest of the members, create kind of the vision and frameworks to help OT operators reduce the risk from cybersecurity.
Yeah, and I hope one day you're checking for the state of the security keys and certificate authorities and all the good things that encryption add to make it a little bit harder to hack, because to know that it's naked networks without encryption. And that's why I'm saying you must be part of the solution for now and into the future, because we're talking about human lives at risk in most of these cases.
Yeah, look, I think there's a good trajectory. It's a bit slow, but there are new initiatives that are happening in the US with grants that are being pushed into municipalities to drive more security thinking and more investment in security. And we're seeing more and more regulations that come from the governments to drive security into different areas. One such example could be CMMC, for example, is that the whole supply chain around federal agencies, which requires a certain level of compliance with CMMC to work with the federal government.
CMMC is the cybersecurity maturity model that the US government's pushing on all their agencies and their partners. If you do business with the US government, they want to know that you're taking cybersecurity a little more seriously than you have in the past.
Exactly. And then CMMC is covered by our governance portal, by the way, which is another factor that.
That's great. What's the standards body that you guys have formed or joined? Can you tell us the URL and what's it about?
You mean OTCSA?
Yeah.
So OTCSA was an initiative that was driven by ABB, one of the largest industrial players in the world. And they recognized this problem of cybersecurity within the industrial space. And in an attempt to try and help CISOs understand operational technology and put some kind of framing around what they can do better to secure those environments, they formed the OTCSA. And they invited us and Checkpoint and Fortinet, and as I mentioned, a few others from the security space, to bring in the people that really understand both security and OT and put our heads together in forming frameworks and paths that will help CISOs reduce the risk of maintaining the operational technology networks.
In parallel, are you talking to the manufacturers like Siemens and others who make the OT equipment and Boeing and say, guys, you really need to improve, here's our standard we recommend?
Yeah, of course. We have partnerships with most of them and we talk to them regularly. Still, I don't want to compare the two, but if you look at the spike in IoT devices, be it VoIP phones, printers, cameras, and whatnot, the manufacturers of these devices, and similarly to the OT space, they focus on the core business of creating strong PLCs or creating very powerful cameras. They don't put enough emphasis on and budget and resources on having security built into their products. And so they lack the basic understanding or functionality around products, because ultimately it's a resource thing. And you spoke about Siemens, you spoke about some of the other names. They still provide their platforms or a subset of their platforms on Windows 7 or Windows XP. And that's the 101 of being able to patch your OSs and being able to manage them is the very basics of just understanding security hygiene.
That's amazing. And this stretches, as you said, into the IoT space, where hospitals now have refrigerators and heart monitors and things that are accessible over the internet. If they're trying to store blood and some hacker could get in and take advantage of a vulnerability, which has been demonstrated at Black Hat, where they hacked a refrigerator remotely, you could ruin a whole blood supply at a hospital. So your market of OT is probably going to keep expanding, and IoT is going to start to head in your direction, where critical infrastructure starts to leverage other things beyond PLC technology that they had, or SCADA that they had no idea, is now part of the OT sphere. You're operating your business and now you've got equipment that's extremely vulnerable and risky.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if we look at the healthcare pharmaceutical industry with COVID-19 and everything, being a security practitioner for years, I can tell you that there are concerns around both intellectual property and any variations to whatever is being pushed into our bodies now and making sure the mRNA of Pfizer and Moderna is actually the mRNA we're looking for, not some other strain of protein. That it's a very doomsday scenario, but this is why it's so important, because it's not just financial losses, it could be substantial lives that may be lost.
Well, and that stuff has to be stored at a very low temperature. So if some hacker got into the refrigeration system and the nurse didn't know, that's another issue. So we're talking about saving human lives with SCADAfence. This isn't just securing the network. This is saving human lives with SCADAfence. This is the coolest hot seat I've done in a while. I think your company is so important. Elad, is there anything that we missed that you want to share with our viewers or listeners?
No, I think there's obviously the security benefits that we provide. On a business level, we've been experiencing tremendous growth over the last year and a half, even though COVID was around. And I think as a sentiment to that is some of the partnerships that we've announced recently. I think one of the most interesting ones is the partnership with Rapid7, where they chose us as their strategic partner to go to market with, as Rapid7 and expand their portfolio of products. They offer the traditional VM, but they've expanded to detection response as well, and providing the SIEM and orchestration tools. They had a spot in there where they just had any coverage, and we fit right in there. And so now all of Rapid7's customers, almost 10,000 across the globe, can benefit from visibility into OT, and it's been working really well for us. More and more so now, we're available globally, and we have more and more people talking about us through these strategic partnerships with Rapid7, Fujitsu, and a few others that we have in place.
That's fantastic. Rapid7, one of the top vulnerability management companies in the world. Fujitsu, a huge company from Japan. Do you have offices in the US? Do you sell direct? Are you doing it just through channel? How do you sell?
So we've got a hybrid model. We have offices in both in the US, in Germany, and in Japan, outside of our headquarters in Israel. And we sell both through channels. We're very channel focused. So we enable channels and we bring deals into channels when we get direct engagements, and we do have some direct engagements as well.
Great. Elad, this has been a wonderful interview. I think it's so important that any of our viewers or listeners who are in the critical infrastructure sphere, or even in from manufacturing, we've even got our steel businesses up again in America from US Steel, HVAC. If you're using any of this stuff that is operational technology, you've got to get SCADAfence. You've got to secure that part of the network that is really not designed for security to protect lives.
Thank you, Gary.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.